Well, last week we had our evangelist friend and my dear friend Christoph minister to us, and he's back home now in Hawaii. But the text that he used is a very interesting text, and I wanted to expand on this. We've been studying the teachings of Jesus. We've been looking at the parables, the words of Jesus, the life of Jesus, how he operated with people, how he dealt with people. And Jesus tells us that we as believers are engaging in some kind of warfare here on earth. It's not a warfare that's with guns and bullets and fists. In fact, he teaches the opposite. He tells us we are to turn the other cheek. We're not to fight fist to fist. That's not the warfare that we are engaged in. But Jesus said that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. That's speaking of some kind of battle, some kind of spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That was the text that Christoph used last Sunday. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Hell. So there's some kind of battle that we are encountering. George, if you can give me Revelation, just came 12:17. If you can find that for me. Revelation 12, chapter 12, verse 17. This is not my text. I just want to paint you a picture before we begin to preach this morning. And so we are engaged in some warfare. The problem is many believers don't understand this. The problem is that a lot of people who are Christians don't understand that we're not just living in this world, just tiptoeing through the tulips kind of mindset, that this world is not a playground, it's a battleground. And that there's a purpose why you are a believer. You're not simply a believer just to go to heaven and have a great time and just sing choruses and come to church and warm up a pew. That's not why you're a Christian. There are things that you and I are involved in, or supposed to be involved in, that promotes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we are engaged in some kind of warfare. My text is found in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll be reading from the 10th verse. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18 is my text this morning. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, he says, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We pray a special blessing, illumination, that you will help us to understand, Lord, what your word is saying. And that we will not only understand it, but apply it in our lives as our spiritual food and strength for this day. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I have in my hands a little sculpture of sorts of how the Roman soldiers used to dress for battle. This is a equipment for a Roman soldier. Notice his helmet, his breastplate, his sword, his tunic, and his sandals. Really, they were tied up to above his ankles. And this is, by and large, here's a shield right here beside him. This is by and large what they used to wear, exactly like you see it here. This is an exact duplicate of how a Roman soldier would dress. And this is very important, because what Paul says here in the text I just read is a picture physically here. This is how physically a Roman soldier would dress for battle. But Paul now is giving us a spiritual illustration of how a Christian is to dress spiritually. We don't wear this anymore. This is not how we dress. But Paul is using this as an example of how we are to dress spiritually. Hence, my title for this morning, Dressed for Success. I'm not speaking about physical success. I'm speaking about spiritual success. How are we to dress spiritually? You know, quite frankly, God doesn't care if I wear a jacket. And so because of that, I'm taking it off. Because it's no big deal. He doesn't care if I wear a tie. And that's why I'm not wearing a tie today. Because it doesn't really matter. God doesn't care that much how you dress. Now, you know, there's an issue, of course. You're not going to come dressed in a way that's, you know, doesn't glorify God. I understand that, of course. But I think you understand what I'm talking about. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. What do I mean, dressed for success? Well, Paul gives us an example of how a Christian is supposed to not only dress, but how he's supposed to live with this equipment that he prescribes here in our text. The point is, we are in a battle. And if you notice verse number 10, if you got my text, George, in Ephesians chapter 6, notice what it says. I'm going to break it down for us so we understand what's going on here. Finally, my brethren, be strong. The Greek word is dynama, strong in the Lord and in the power. Sorry, the power is dynama, the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So Paul introduces his teaching by saying, listen, Christians, you need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so I need to ask a question. Are you strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? I hope you can say yes. But if you're not, here's how you become strong. Paul says, look, I want to show you how you can become a strong believer. I'm going to let you know how you can be strong in his power. How you can live not constantly brought down by the winds of circumstance, how you can be strong and not swayed back and forth, how you can be a person of faith, how you can be a person who makes a difference in this world. And Paul says, I'm going to tell you how, and I'm going to show you how, and it's all based on the Roman centurion's equipment. And so Paul expands on this, and he introduces this by saying, look, I want you to be strong. And so the question is, how? Put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. This whole armor. All right. So each armor, each piece of this armor has a spiritual significance. The helmet has a significance. The sword has a significance. The tunic has a significance. The breastplate has a significance. And these sandals have a significance. And so Paul is now going to explain how spiritually all these elements are important for our Christian growth and to be strong in his power and his might. Put on this whole armor of God. Wouldn't it be foolish for a soldier to go into battle and have no equipment? It's impossible. Never in history has any soldier ever gone into battle with no equipment. It just wouldn't make sense. But how many Christians wake up every morning and they're in their life and they go to work and they go to school and they're living their lives, but they don't have their spiritual armor on? Now just think about that for a moment. And we wonder why things aren't going the way we're praying for. So I must ask you a question. Do you have your armor on? Are you dressed for success? And so let's discuss what this is all about. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? Why? Why, George? So we can stand against the wiles of the devil. So we can stand. speaks of security. So we can stand against the wiles. The word wiles in the Greek means the schemes. The devil has plans. He's a schemer. The enemy wants to destroy you. Let me just set a precedent. The enemy does not like you. If you're a true believer, you can be sure you are automatically engaged in spiritual warfare. And the Bible says that the devil is roaming around this world seeking whom he may what? Devour. The Greek word for devour means to drown. He wants to drown you. The devil wants to destroy you. The devil wants to bring all kinds of heartache and all kinds of destruction in your life. He wants to dissuade you from following Christ. The minute you want to take a stand for God, the enemy will come and try to speak to you and tell you, you can just forget about this nonsense. It means nothing. And he'll try to do whatever he can to dissuade you from following the Lord. And he hasn't changed. He's not very original. And he's not very original because it's been working for thousands of years. Put on the whole armor of God so you can stand against the schemes of the devil. You see, here we see a picture, as I mentioned, of the equipment of the soldier, the Roman soldier. 2 Timothy, George, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, therefore, endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul calls us a soldier. Listen, when you're a Christian, a true Christian, not a Christian who just believes with his mind, a true believer where Christ is real, where your life has changed, where God has touched your life. If you are a Christian, if you are automatically a soldier of Jesus Christ. So if you're a soldier depicts a warfare. A soldier depicts a battle. We're not tiptoeing through the tulips. We're in a battle. All those things that you think are just circumstances, all those things that are are bringing havoc, most of the time, that's a ploy to distract you, to discredit you, that you're under attack from the enemy. And we don't want to spend too much time on this, in this element, because we don't want to bring glory to the enemy. But I want to teach so I can expose darkness. Paul says to teach the light that darkness could be exposed. Today I want to expose darkness. I want to expose what is wrong so that we can come and understand something. I believe some people here today are going to understand why they're going through the things that they're going through. When I became a Christian in 1979, 1980, I didn't have a clue about Christianity. I went to church with my mother. She'd grab me by the ear every Easter, you know. Okay, you know, we have to go to church. It's Easter, you know. And so he'd pull me by the ear. It's Easter time. And, you know, and we'd make our signs and this. And then they'd leave the church and they would, you know, have their cigarettes and then we'd go back home. And it was just horrible. It was just, anyway. And so there they were. We went to church. So we were okay. We're spiritual now. We made it to Easter. We can go home now. And I had no idea about spiritual warfare. I didn't even know what it meant to be a Christian. But when I gave my life to Christ, I was pretty secure in a sense. You know, I never was scared. I wasn't have many fears in my life. I was certainly never scared of the dark. I know some kids are scared of the dark. I was never scared of the dark. I would just go to bed. Don't care if it was dark. I'd just go right to bed. Never had any fears of any kind like that. When I became a Christian, I started to get scared of things. So what? And I would hear, I'd try to go to bed, forget Christianity, you're losing your mind. I'd have the most horrific nightmares. I can't even describe to you how horrific these nightmares were. I never used to dream that. I remember, I don't have any. Oh, I'm getting these horrible demonic nightmares. And I would wake up with a cold sweat. And I said, what is going on here? I said, what am I experiencing? I said, is this what it means to be a Christian? And I realized that something is going on here. I would sense an evil. I'd be going to bed and I would sense an evil presence in my room. And I didn't know. And I would just feel very tensed, and I said, what is going on here? And then eventually, as I started to grow in the Lord, I would speak to a pastor that I met there, and he would tell me, Dino, what's happened is that when you were living in the world, when you didn't know God, you weren't living very well, and the enemy was pretty happy with you. But when you became a Christian, he got angry, and he's out to torment you. The devil seeking those who he may, he wanted to destroy me, as he wants to destroy anyone who wants to follow Jesus. And so I started to experience these horrific nightmares and breaking in a cold sweat. I would toss and turn. I would sense the presence of evil. I was actually scared of the dark. I was living in a boarding house in Los Angeles, and there were some roommates there, and I felt a little weird. I was so scared, I asked if I can just sleep in their room just to have company. I was so scared. Can you imagine that? A full-grown man. At this point, I was petrified. Why? What's happening to me? And I would remember these, just forget about God, and you don't need God. Like, where did these, how did this come about? Again, I knew nothing about warfare. I was hardly even going to church. I never was raised as a Christian, so I didn't have any understanding of these things. But the point is, if you're a soldier of Jesus Christ, you need this armor so you can deal with spiritual battles that will come your way that I had to learn the hard way. And I had nobody to speak to me about this in those days. Notice, George, the word wrestle. You wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, watch this. I'm going to make it, by the grace of God, very clear for you today. Notice it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against. The word wrestle in the Greek is the word paloma. Debbie, am I pronouncing it properly? Paloma? Palevo or paloma? Palevo means literally, it actually means a combat physically, but in the spiritual realm. So you are fighting not against flesh and blood. It's not about man. I'm not fighting against you. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of what? Darkness. My fight isn't with you, but with the powers of darkness that are trying to destroy you and me together. It's not flesh and blood. It's not man. It's the powers of darkness. Where? Of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in where? In the heavenlies, in the spirit realm. You see, there's a spirit realm, and these spirits live in this spirit realm, just like angels live in the spirit realm. And so we have this battle going on. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. In Daniel chapter 10, if you remember, Daniel was praying for 21 days for God to answer his prayer concerning Israel. And the Bible says after 21 days, Michael the archangel came to Daniel and said, Daniel, God heard your prayer the minute you prayed, but I had a battle with the prince of Persia for 21 days. Is that not true? Do you remember Elisha's servant? The Syrians came to attack, and Elisha got was there standing firm, but his servant got very scared when he saw the enemy, and he cried out to Elisha, and Elisha prayed to the Lord. Do you remember what he prayed to the Lord? He said, Lord, open up his. And what did he see? He saw angels encamped more than the enemies that protected them. God opened his eyes. Friends, if God would open your spiritual eyes, I tell you now, you would see things in the spirit and you would, what is this? Because we are natural. So we see in the natural. But you see, this, what I'm talking about is the spiritual. And if God would open up our spiritual cataracts and remove that we can see into the eternal, you would be shocked. The spiritual world is more active than the physical world. We just don't see it in the natural realm. We have a battle. Paul says, do not be ignorant of the devil's devices. We need to know that this is true. And I'm going to be sharing some illustrations in my message today because this is how I best can describe what I'm trying to preach this morning and teach. I remember when I was in Los Angeles. I just became a Christian and I was going through some confusion in my life. I was involved in the entertainment business, and when I was there, I really left Montreal to pursue this career, and I had no idea that I was going to become a Christian there, and so I had this duality, this dichotomy. Am I to stay in Los Angeles and pursue my career, or am I to leave Los Angeles and go back to Montreal? I felt a pulling. I felt that God wanted to change my destiny. I felt that God wanted to change the course of my life, and so there was a battle between, should I stay in Los Angeles and pursue my career, or should I go back to Montreal? I believe the Lord was telling me to go back and to actually go to Bible college, if you can believe it. And so I was going through this battle and this tension back and forth. This battle. And in this battle, I started getting opportunities for Hollywood, parts that I never should be getting. They would change the description of the actors that they wanted. I was getting all these interviews, and even my agent at the time said, couldn't believe I was getting all these opportunities. Why? Because the devil was opening up these doors. I didn't even have a green card, and they still wanted me. Can you explain that? And so it got so difficult. What am I supposed to do? I want to serve God, but yet I felt this was wrong because there's a lot of compromise in Hollywood. There's a lot of sin, and I didn't want to live like this. God began to clean me up, but I was going through this battle, and so I decided to go see a witch. Well, that's a great compromise. The reason why I'm saying that, because in my culture, that's a common practice. John, is that not true? John has had fellow Greek, and not just Greeks, Italians and Europeans. And I know some Caribbean peoples as well. This is a common thing. You know, witchcraft and mediums and psychics. And I used to come home from interviews, I didn't have a car at the time, I used to walk by this house and it had this big sign, have your future told, and they had this palm reading thing. And even though it was I just got saved basically, but I just wanted to know my future because I believed that in the spirit realm, I wanted to know my future. I'm going to go see this lady and I'm going to talk to her, and I knew it was a lady because I said a picture of her face. And so I said, I'm going to go in to have my future told. So I walked into to this place, and I remember I'm going through this battle. I wanted God, yet I wanted the world at the same time. And I was going through this pressure. I was sick and tired of all these dreams. I was like, God, what am I doing? It was a very discouraging time at that time. So I walked into this person's house, wanted to have my future told. And as I'm walking into her house, I didn't see anybody. But I heard some rustling in the back of the house where she was, in the main floor. And so I walked in out towards the rustling of what I heard. And there I see her. She's fixing some books or something. And she looks at me. And she begins to scream, get out of here! Now you got to understand something. I don't know this lady, right? So what person do you just meet? I'm trying to give her some business, perhaps. And she wants me to get out of here. You know, and God was working, just started working. I didn't have much grace in my life back then, John. I didn't have much grace. And so she's screaming at me. I said, now, wait a minute. Why is she screaming at me? Do I know her? She's yelling at me like this. I had no idea about the spirit realm. So I said, she probably has me confused with somebody else. So I'm going to go more adamantly and never look at my face. So I said, no, you don't know me. So Then she put her hand on her face. Get out of here! My God. What? I said, no, wait a minute. Now I know for sure you saw me, and I know for sure that you haven't. This was weird. Why would she do that? She couldn't even look at me. I think I shaved that morning. I went home, really distraught. My God, what? Now, I don't know if I shared my test, but I'm not going to get into this because that's not the purpose. But I had a little Bible that somebody gave me, and I was reading that morning or the next day, and all of a sudden I found myself in Psalm 34. And I read it. I was reading it. And as I read Psalm 34, I came to a section. Then I ended up in Psalm 91. Nobody told me. I just got there. And the Bible very clearly says, and He gave His angels charge over you to protect you. I said, what? Wait, wait, wait. His angels. And all of a sudden I said, oh, I started to understand something. He gave His, you know, she put her hand on her face. She couldn't see me. And I just, what? Why couldn't she? Then it dawned on me. It wasn't me. I wasn't living such a holy life. Well, what am I? I'm going to see a witch. It wasn't because I'm so righteous. What she saw, my brothers and my sisters, were the angelic hosts that were protecting me. Because if I would have met this lady, if I would have talked to this lady, she probably would have said things that I wanted to hear. And God was protecting me. And I understood that there was a battle going on. And things started to become more clear to me as I experienced things. The Bible tells us in verse 13, you need this armor so you can stand. And there's seven aspects to this armor that I want to talk about. Seven aspects. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that I want to talk about very quickly this morning on how we can stand. If you're a believer today, you need to hear this message. If you're a believer, you need to incorporate this word. This is how you become strong. This is how you are able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. This is how you're able to stand against unrighteousness and darkness. And the first principle I want to share with you this morning is this. This is more of a teaching. I don't normally teach like this Sunday mornings. You got to come to my Wednesdays. But I'm going to bring a teaching today. And I want you to notice the first thing about the description or prescription of this armor. Notice the belt, verse number 14. The belt. Principles that begin with B. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist. Here's the belt. It was around his waist. And there was a reason for the belt that was around the waist. It wasn't for fashion reasons. This belt I have here, I'm not much of a fashion guy, but this is not really, I don't need it because my pants are still loose. So it doesn't matter. It's not what a belt. It's not meant for fashion back in that day. There was a spiritual reason and a physical reason back in that day of why the belt was so important. The belt. You see, this belt was to fit around the waist, which indicates that the soldier is prepared for action. To slacken your belt would mean, you know what, I'm off duty now. I can relax. So they would take their belt and they toss it because they're not engaged in battle anymore. So their belt would be loose or they would take it off, which meant I'm not engaged in battle. You see, this belt that was tight around your waist is a picture that the Christian is ready, that you're alert. You're not slacking. You're involved. You're not just sitting on the fence and waiting for things to happen. You're ready for action. You're alert. You're prepared. You're engaged. You don't just come to church and you sit down and you're looking at the time. What time is it? Oh, it's time to go home and have lunch. That you're not ready. You're involved. It speaks of readiness. It speaks of being alert. The soldier would tighten his belt and he's saying, I'm ready to fight. Because the tunic had to be tight. If the tunic was too loose, you can maybe, you know, you can't run properly. You can't be engaged properly. It's too loose. The belt had to be tight. It speaks that you're ready. And also, it was an essential purpose so it can keep the breastplate straight and firm. If the belt was loose, the breastplate would fall off. So you had to have the belt tightened as a picture of you being ready, but also it kept your breastplate secure. Because if your breastplate fell off, you can be killed easily with a bow and arrow. You'd be a prime target. If I was the enemy and I saw you had no breastplate on, bang, I'd get you right away. And the point is, the tightening of the belt is a picture of someone who's alert. See, when the Christian is too relaxed, Satan attacks. I like that, it rhymes. Relax, attacks. It's true. Let me ask you a question. We talked about David. When did David fall? When did David fall? Come on now, you Bible scholars. When David was relaxed, right? Trinita, wasn't he supposed to be in battle? The Bible says when the kings went to war. Oh, you don't want to miss this series on David. When the kings went to war. In other words, there was a battle going on and David was supposed to be part of this battle. David says, you know what? I've been fighting a while. I'm taking it easy. I'll let my associates go into battle. So I'm going to relax here. I'm going to go on my balcony. That's what he did. I'm going to take some sun. I'm going to have some wine. Don't let me go on that one. And I'm just going to sit right here. And I'm just going to take it easy. I'm relaxing. And as David relaxed, what happened? He sees his beautiful woman. Oh my goodness. He sees his beautiful woman on a roof. And she's running around, walking around, you know, with a skimpy outfit on. And David's relaxed, right? He sees her, and the devil starts playing with his mind. Huh? See, the mind that's idle is the devil's playground, I tell you. So David's relaxed when he should be fighting in war. And he sees this woman, and he says, oh, I got to get to know who this person is. Finds out she's married. He couldn't care less. You see, when you are relaxed and you don't have your belt tight and your mind is on everything, you're just taking things easy, you know, it's very easy to compromise and it's a lot easier to sin when you're not ready, when you're caught off guard. David was caught off guard. And his mind started to wander. And we all know the story. He ends up committing adultery with Bathsheba. Has a child out of wedlock. And we know the problems that happened. He had to kill his husband. He killed her husband to cover his sin. Let me tell you something, friends. You can't cover your sin. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. So, tightening of the belt speaks of action. If you're lazy and slothful, the enemy will have a great time in your life. That's how many were to go into battle with a tightened belt. The belt girded with the truth. Notice what it says. Your loins gird about with the truth. And having on the breastplate, what truth? The truth of the righteousness of God. The truth of the word of God. The truth, aletheia is the Greek word. Speaking of God's truth, the gospel. You and I have a responsibility to proclaim the gospel, to be tight, so to speak. To not be relaxed, but to be passionate, in other words. To be passionate in knowing what you're doing as a soldier of Jesus Christ. The truth that stems from an inward conviction, the breastplate of righteousness, an inward conviction that you're in the truth. Paul says in Thessalonians 1:5 that the gospel did not come in word only, but with much assurance. Let me ask you, do you know what you believe in? Now just hold on a second. What do you believe? Do you really believe? See, that's the question. Do you really believe? Because if you really believed, you will never be the same again, number one. But number two, people around you are going to change. If you truly believe the gospel, not only will it change your life, but it's going to change the lives of the people around you as well. In other words, you are going to be the salt of the earth. Your life is going to make a difference in people's lives. It's just going to come out of you. It's going to be so visible. People are just going to see it. Because it's real. There's conviction. My belt is tight. I'm ready for battle. There's conviction. It speaks of passion and conviction. Do you know when America, the U.S. fought Vietnam in the late 60s? I was a young boy. I was about 10 years old. 9, 10 years old, 11 years old. I would hear about the Vietnam War. You know, U.S. against Vietnam. I didn't even know that Vietnam was a country back then. Vietnam. And they're fighting Vietnam against the U.S. And what was even weird is that Vietnam was winning the battle. They were beating the Americans. How can a nation that you don't even know of beat the great and mighty U.S.? They were beating the U.S. And you know, there was a survey, and I'll tell you why they were beating the U.S. They surveyed the soldiers of the American. This is the great USA. They made a survey of the Americans that were fighting in the Vietnamese-American War in the late 60s and 70s. And they surveyed, they asked them a question. Said, do you know what you're fighting for? 80% of them said, we don't know what we're fighting for. If you don't know what you're fighting for, you're not going to win. Amen. Amen. You're just going to exist. No passion, no purpose, no energy, no peace, no conviction. That's why Paul says, I know whom I have believed in. And he is able. He is able. I know. That's why Paul was a great soldier, because he knew whom he believed in. Do you know who you believe in? And so my question is, are you dressed for battle? Number two, not only do we need the belt, but notice now also this breastplate of righteousness. This would cover the heart. This is the most important organ in your body, so to speak, right here, the heart. Not only physically, but spiritually. I mentioned it earlier, and I had purpose in saying this. The heart is the key to your spiritual life. The heart is the key to your spiritual life. Not what you look like on the outside. It's right here. It's right here. God sees the heart. He wants to know what's in the heart. That's why what things are seen on the outside, people might say, oh, look how great, look how wonderful, as I said before, and God weeps because he sees who you really are. He sees the motive of your heart, and he's not plotting, he's weeping. He's weeping because he sees your heart. He sees who you and I really are. And the breastplate will protect the heart of the soldier. It's right here. Protect his upper torso. There was a protection right here. If you didn't have your breastplate on, man, you're in serious trouble. Serious trouble. But it speaks of the heart in the context of righteousness. Notice the breastplate of righteousness. Did you see that? Why does it say righteousness? Because God's concerned about your righteousness. He's concerned about how you live. I gotta say that again. He's concerned about how you live. I don't understand when I talk to some Christians. So what are you doing tonight? Well, I'm going to whatever. I go, really? I go, you're going there. I said, are you taking Jesus with you? Taking Jesus. Would Jesus go there? I'll never forget Pastor Murdoch, Los Angeles, the First Baptist Church. I went to a church once called the First Baptist Church of Hollywood. The pastor's name was Murdoch. He was about 73 years old. I was a young kid, 20 years old. I drove my bicycle that I found in the garbage heap all the way to church. I'm sweating. And I was talking to some people, and I was concerned about some things. And I asked the pastor, I said, Pastor, I'm busy. I got to do some things tonight. Where I talked to him. I says, I'm going to this place, however, to meet somebody. He says, what place? I said, I'm going to this particular bar, whatever it was. He says, you're going to a bar? I go, yes. Going to have some fun there. Oh, okay. He said to me, are you taking Jesus with you? I said, am I taking Jesus with me? He says, no. I got to meet this lady here, making Jesus. He says, no. He said, would Jesus like to come with you? I said, no, I don't think so. No. He says, then don't go there. And I never forgot it. I never forgot it. My friends, what are you doing? Where are you going? Let me ask you something. The places you go, would Jesus be pleased? Just think about it. Are you honoring God in those places? We got to think about this for a moment. Is God glorified by you being in that place? The breastplate of righteousness speaks about your character. It speaks about how you live. How you live. Your character. We don't care about character. You don't go for a job promotion and says, you know what? I'm going to promote you. I like your character. Are you kidding me? They want to see all your skills. They don't care what kind of character you have, more or less. You know, the army of God is the only place that you graduate because of character. Amen. There's no other place. Because the world wants skill and externals, and you got to be great in this, and you got to be all that. They don't care about character, but God does. The breastplate of righteousness. You see, the truth is, when you come to Christ, the first thing that changes is your character. I got to say that again. When you come to Christ, the first thing that begins to change is your character. You start realizing things. Your personality might stay the same. I still have the same personality I've always had. I've always been crazy. I'm crazy. But you see, the thing is that my character's changed. I'm still loud and obnoxious. That's going to happen to me. But my character's changed. See, Peter's personality never changed, but his character did. The Apostle Paul was very similar to Saul in his personality, but his character changed. See, God made us unique, but he all wants us to change in characters. That's how I know God's real in your life. That's how I know God's doing something in your life. Have you changed? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, the Bible says. All things have passed, things are changing. That's how I know I'm in Christ. And so, are you dressed for battle? You see, my friends, there's no protection without holiness. There's no protection without righteousness. Oh, Pastor Dino, I just want to do my thing. I want to serve God, but I want to do my thing. And so we want the kingdom benefits without the kingdom requirements. If you don't have the breastplate of righteousness, there's no protection because there's no substitute to holiness. If you're not trying to live right, if you don't want to live a life of character and purity, then that breastplate is just not on. The enemy will attack you more and more. You've got part of the armor off your body. You become vulnerable. You can't get God's blessing by doing your own thing. You can't experience God's blessing while you're trying to live for the flesh and do what's right in your own eyes. That's not character. That's not character. When you want to know what character is, you read Galatians chapter 5. It speaks of temperance, long-suffering, peace. There's joy. There's forgiveness. This is character. There's love. This is character. It talks about elements of the Spirit. That's character. Kindness, tenderness, mercy, forgiveness. That's character. And the closer you get to God, the more of these character traits are seen in you. Second Timothy says, the soldier, watch this now. This soldier, 2 Timothy 2:3, George, does not entangle himself with the affairs of this world. Wow. Oh, that's a powerful text. No man that warreth, there's the warreth. Watch this. Warreth. What does war mean? We're in a battle. Right? No man that warreth entangles. Anybody get tangles? My beautiful wife with her hair, she's got long hair. Man, does she have long hair? And every time, you know, I see their hair, sometimes it just, and it's just all entangled because it's so long. You see, entangles, it's all meshed together. No man that warreth entangleth himself. In other words, you get all messed up with himself, with the affairs of this life. Doesn't mean you don't live, but you're not consumed with this world and the rudiments of this world. You know, you don't live according to the fashions of this world. You don't live like godless people live. You're away from that. You're a soldier now. You're getting further away from those things. You're getting closer to God. You're not entangling yourself anymore to those things. You're a soldier. You're alert. You're not doing the things you used to do, otherwise you got no power. The minute you start doing the things that you used to do in the past and you entangle yourself back in the old ways of life, you lose your power, your strength. so are you dressed for battle. Then notice number 15, my third point this morning, do you have your boots on? Principles that begin with B, your belt, breastplate of righteousness. Number 3, your boots. What do I mean? Notice verse 15. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod with the preparation. What does that mean? Your feet. Now watch this now. Once the breastplate was on, the belt was tightened, the soldier puts on his army boots or his shoes. We see right here, they were called their shoes, but boots, but they really were like sandals, but we're doing principles that begin with B, so you understand what I'm talking about. These boots here, right here. These were very significant. You could never go to battle without shoes on. Are you kidding me? Because you'd have to fight in muddy waters. Sometimes the terrain was mountainous and it was sharp and you can cut your feet. You don't go into battle with no shoes. Does anybody have a race without running shoes? Just try it. Your feet won't last one race and you're done. You can't go into battle without shoes. All God's children got shoes. You just try to walk even on the streets. My goodness, I go on vacation sometimes. I forget my sandals on the beach and I'm walking on the beach and my feet hurt for crying out loud. Do you got your shoes on? What does that mean? This describes a certain condition. How many have heard of Josephus? Josephus was an ancient Jewish historian. Josephus tells us that these boots or these shoes, these Roman sandals, these had studs. Watch this now. This is very important. Certain studs in the soles of these cleats or these shoes that would give them better stability when they were on certain land surfaces. If you're on a mountain peak, you'd have these cleats, these studs, so you can have a better grasp. If you were on a slippery terrain, because you know where it gets cold and there may be a bit of ice, depending where you are, you'd be able to have more assurance, more stability, because you've got these studs. Has anybody ever played soccer before? You got these, they're called cleats. You got these studs in the base of your shoes. Katrina, you know all about cleats. Studs. You can run faster. You know, because you got these studs that give you a better grip. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You're too quiet for me. You got more stability. Well, these Roman soldiers had these studs in the base of their sandals so they can have better ability to maneuver despite the weather, despite the terrain, whether it was muddy, whether it was cold and slippery. They had these studs, they had these boots that gave them a sense of stability. This was a preparedness. They were prepared. The Christian soldier's equipment is his ability to go into battle with assurance. He's ready, he's got his boots on, and the soldier is saying, it doesn't matter what the weather is outside. It doesn't matter if it's slippery outside. I can fight because I got these cleats. I'm going to stand firm no matter what the weather is like. Oh, Pastor, you know, I'd like to come to church, but you know, I'd like to pray. I'd like to come to Bible study, but you know what? I've got something that came up, and you know, the weather isn't very good, and so I just won't be able to make it. You don't have your boots on, because a soldier had cleats, and he went into battle whether it was sunny or whether it was raining. How many understand what I'm talking about? A soldier never said to his general, sorry, sir, can't fight today. It's too cold outside. Doesn't work that way. Sorry, sir, can't make it today. I know that Rome's fighting against the Persians, but you know what? I don't feel I can make it because I heard on the Weather Channel it's supposed to rain. It doesn't work like that. You went into battle because you got your boots on, so it doesn't matter what the weather is, because you're ready, because you got your cleats on, you got those studs. No matter what the weather is like, you're going to be able to stand firm. Amen. You're not going to slip and fall, in other words. I got these boots on, man. Oh, it reminds me of an old song I used to sing when I was a boy. I won't go there. But these boots were very important because it spoke of having what David calls hinds feet. Remember David said, the Lord gives me hinds feet? Very similar. The deer's feet had a cushion in the bottom that gave him the ability to maneuver upon cliffs and upon certain terrains. That's what God is saying. When you're walking with God, God gives you strength to overcome the circumstances that are around you. Notice the gospel of peace. Peace, peace. He's bringing this message. The soldier is bringing the message of Jesus Christ. And what is the message? It's the message of peace. Did you notice this? It's the Greek word eirene, which means peace. Eirene, peace. And the Greek word is describing a soothing touch. It actually means to put a certain compress over a sunburn. It soothes you. That's what peace means. It also means a broken stallion. You ever see a horse that's not ridden upon? He's wild and he's crazy. And then finally, when the horse is broken, you're able to ride the horse. Can I hear an amen? That means peace. The horse is in peace. That's what it means here. It means the wildness has become tempered. When God comes into your life, He brings a peace into your life, a soothing touch. That's how you know that you're in Christ. You've got peace. Doesn't mean that things are always going to work out. My wife is sick today. She had a hard time getting up this morning. It was tough for her, but she still has peace. How many understand what I'm talking about? I'm not saying that you're never going to have problems. I'm not saying you're not going to be downcast on occasion. That's different. But do you have peace in your heart? That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Peace in your heart. The peace of God that passes all understanding. God wants to bring peace in your life. And you know what? We are the soldiers that bring peace to people through Christ. You are His ambassador. You bring this message to people. You tell them Jesus loves you. You tell them that God cares for you. That God wants to bring peace in your life. That God wants to embrace you. No matter what you're going through, God wants to be there in your life. No matter what kind of pain you're going through, He wants to bring peace in your life. Don't be like the world. Don't be governed up and down by circumstances. Let the peace of God keep your boots on. Let those cleats shine. No matter what the terrain's like, He's going to give you a sure-footedness. That's what peace is. Sure-footedness. It's called blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. It speaks about peace. 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 Only God can give you peace. Stop trying to find peace through things. It doesn't matter. It won't work. Stop trying to find peace through some object. It won't happen. It only comes through Christ, the peace that passes all understanding. Now watch this. My goodness, my time is running down here. I just got a few more minutes. Number four, very quickly. You got your belt. You got your breastplate. You got your boots. Now watch this. What about your banner? What about your banner? Watch verse number 16. Look at this. Above all, taking the shield of what? Of faith. Wherewith you can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Did you see this? The evil one. Wow. I got to park the car here for a moment. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. Above all. Listen. Above all. Taking the shield of faith. Above all. Above all. What does above all mean in the Greek? Above all. Above all. Taking the shield of faith. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench the darts of the wicked one. What does that mean? Above all. This is your banner. You see, as strong as, watch this now, as the armor was, there needed extra protection against the enemy. This shield is a Greek word, tedion, which means like a wall. This is like a wall. This consisted of two layers of wood put together, covered with linen and certain hide, and was bound with strong cords. And really what the case is here is that the soldiers would often fight side by side with these solid shields, this wall, and there'd be no way the enemy can get in. And so you'd have a shield beside a shield beside a shield. It was like a wall, and the darts couldn't pierce, and the enemy had no chance because the shield would protect them as a wall was formed. You see, when you have faith in God, it's like a wall. No weapon that's formed against you shall. My God, faith in God can move mountains, not in man. Stop putting faith in man. Listen, man will let you down. Don't trust in man. Be nice to us, but don't trust in them. Trust in God. God is the one that can. You see, having faith in God is the above all. If you truly have faith in God, you will never sink, my friend. Never. And I don't say never much. If you have true faith in God, it's like a shield that quenches the darts of the wicked one. Now watch this. Back in the day of Rome, they would have these arrows and they would dip it in certain oils and it would become fiery. And they put fire and there'd be like a fiery arrows. Fiery arrows would, and sometimes those fiery arrows would be able to burn some of the shields. So a lot of time what they would do is they would put certain ointment on the shield. So when the fiery darts would come on the shield, this ointment would dispel the fire from spreading. Added protection. What this means is, not only does your faith are like a shield, but it also protects you from the fiery darts of the enemy when he's on a, when he's, man, when he's really mad at you and he wants to kill you and he throws a dart that's full of fire, the Bible says your faith will quench that fire. Amen. Your faith in God. Stop putting your faith on things and people and organizations. Put your faith in God. Let Him become Lord in your life. Let Him show you how wonderful He is. It will quench the fiery darts of the enemy. The fire. This is an ultra defense mechanism. I mean, there's nothing greater than this. Your faith in God can move mountains. Can, no matter what is around you, having faith, He will strengthen you in that moment. You might not experience what you want to experience at that time, but God will protect you and God will show you and God will lift you up. And that's why, friends, we got to rejoice in good times or in bad times. If you got faith, you can still praise Him when you're in the wilderness. If you've got, listen, friends, if you can't praise Him in the wilderness, you'll never get into the promised land. Never. Stop praising God only when you feel good. If I praised God only when I felt good, you might see me once a week. Come on now. It's not about feelings. Stop being so feely. You know, gotta feel. I believe I'm a feely type of guy too, but I'm not basing my faith on feelings. If I'm gonna base my faith in God and how I feel, I might praise Him once in a while and that's it. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Do you always feel like praising God? No, you know why? Because you're a human being and you're natural and you have emotions and you're governed by your emotions a lot of times. But you see, when you have faith in God, you're still going to praise Him no matter what you feel like. That's what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 42:6. I'm going to praise Him and trust Him and walk with Him whether it looks good or whether it looks evil. What do you think Job said? Though my flesh be destroyed, yet I know my Redeemer lives. I will praise Him and worship Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will worship Him. In good times and in bad times. Because I know that God's working it out. And my faith in God is telling me, I may not understand it because I see all these obstacles, I see all this darkness, but I got faith in God. And I know because I got faith in God that He's not going to let me down. And I know He's going to work it out. I may not understand it, but I know God's going to work it out. I know God's going to work it out. I don't get it all the time, but I know whom I believed in, that He is able. Forget how the song goes, but... That's an old time. Listen, man, if you know that one, you're as old as me, I'll tell you. Oh, my goodness. I better move on. I got so much. I got to move on. All right, here we go. Let's go to number five very quickly. Number five. Not only do you have this, the boots on, your breastplate on, not only do you have this banner, but now you have the helmet of salvation. What do you believe? Take the helmet. Watch this now. Oh, this is powerful. Oh, there's. Take the helmet of salvation. Watch this now. And the sword of the Spirit. Here's the sword, which is the Word of God. What is Paul saying? The helmet of salvation. What does the helmet cover? Basically, what do you believe in here? What do you believe? What is in here? Before we can understand, we must receive information, correct? What do you believe? Do you truly believe in God? Do you believe in His Word? You see, the helmet will protect your head against the battle. See, you see, if you're just reading and then taking all this garbage in your head, it's going to reflect on how you live. What are you processing in your mind? Why did Paul say in Romans 12, do not be conformed of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your... Be ye what? Transformed. Your mind is transformed through the Word of God. The helmet of salvation. Let me ask you something. Do you know that you're saved? It's very similar to having this conviction. Are you convinced that you are a true believer? How do I know you're a Christian? Do you believe that you're a Christian? You see, it's what's in your mind. What is your mindset? What is your mindset? The helmet protects the head. And so the question is, what is in your mind? Do you know who you are in Christ? I ask again, do you know who you really are as a Christian? Do you know what you believe? 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, this helmet is the message and identified with hope. Having hope. You see, if you don't have any hope, you've got no purpose. If you don't have any hope, you're not going to be a very good soldier. If you've got no hope, you've got no peace, you've got no strength. Notice now, again, what do you believe in? Do you know who you are? Can I share with you through the scriptures very quickly who you are in Christ? Do you want to know who you are? Do you want to know what kind of person you are when you come to Jesus? Listen to what the Bible says. Ephesians 1:4, you are chosen. Ephesians 1:5, you are adopted. Ephesians 1:5, you are accepted. Ephesians 1:7, you are redeemed and forgiven. Ephesians 2:6, you are seated in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:8, you are saved. Ephesians 2:10, you are His workmanship. Ephesians 3:12, you are bold and confident in Him. Romans 8:11, Jesus' life resides in you. Colossians 2:7, you are rooted and built up in Christ. Colossians 2:7, you are established in the faith. Colossians 2:10, you are complete in all. You are complete in Him. Stop trying to find completion somewhere else. You are complete in Him. And finally, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation. Can I give you one more? He has given you all things that pertain unto godliness. That's who you are. Before I close, I gotta... Back in the day of the slavery, there was a couple of slaves that were brought up to the northern part of the U.S. President Lincoln, who abolished slavery, by the way, saw these men. And back in the day, you were not allowed as a slave to look at someone eye to eye if they were your master. And President Lincoln looked at this slave that had his head up. That's fine, but didn't see that too often with slaves. So he went up to the slave. He said, sir, I have no problem what you're doing, but this is very unique. Why is your head up like this? He said, Mr. President, he said, my head is up because I know whom I believe in. Because of what Jesus has done in my life. And what the Bible says in the book of Psalms. For Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. It was shortly after that that slavery was abolished. Amen. They won't tell you that in the history books, but I'm telling you this today. When Jesus comes into your life, your head is lifted up. You're not walking down all the time like this, and just every single moment going around. You got faith. I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Your life changes. You're not the same anymore. Elaine, I'm not finished my sermon. Do I have to do a part two again? Not tonight, though. Wow. Folks, you know what? I'm just going to finish, okay? My last point. I got so much more. I got so much more. Lord, help us. You know what? Let me give you my last point. I'll give you my last point. Verse 18. Forget my sixth point. Let's go to the birthing, my last point, George. Where did George go? He's in the bathroom. My sermon is that long. Goodness gracious, he takes a bathroom break. I didn't think my sermon was that long. George, where are you? Thank you, George. Oh, by the way, that promotion I was going to give you, if you can forget it right now, I can tell you that. Verse 18, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with perseverance and supplication. That speaks of a birthing. You know what the Christian soldier does? He prays. That's where his battle is. He doesn't fight fist to fist. He prays. He prays in the secret place. He's praying to God to change things around. You know how many people, the times I've counseled women who've got struggles with their husbands or fights going on in the home. You know what? They try to turn people around. They try to force people with their words. I'm going to change my husband. I'm going to change this. I'm going to make sure this. Let me tell you, you can't change anybody. What does a Christian? He begins to pray, begins to seek the Lord. You see, your weapons are not guns and bullets. And your weapons are prayer and the Word of God. Amen. That's how things change. As you pray and you seek the Lord, praying always. And you have the Word of God there, knowing what God is saying. You're praying. That's how things change. You don't change things by the force that you do. It's not by how powerful you are as a person. You might be a powerful person, but you can't change things in the spirit realm. Only God can. Stop trying to change everything. Why don't you give it to God and begin to pray and watch and see what He can do through your life as you begin to pray. The Bible is filled with people praying and God doing great works. The Bible says that the Lord works on behalf of those who wait upon Him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run, they shall walk and not faint. Prayer, my house shall be called the house of prayer. The Christian soldier prays more than he talks, to trying to force things. Stop talking to your husband so much to God. Why don't you go into the closet and talk to God about your husband? Maybe things are going to change right now. Christian soldier understands the power of prayer. That's why we're having these prayer meetings next week, by the way, folks. We're not going to make a decision here at Logos because we have needs and we're going to rationally try to think things out. We have to pray and wait on God, and God's going to give us a direction. How much time do you spend in prayer? And you expect God to bless us and we're not even praying. It doesn't work like that. We need to seek the Lord. Pour out the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Availeth much. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Men ought to pray always and not faint. Mark and Matthew chapter 7. Ask, seek, and knock. Shall be given. Paul says in Timothy to the soldiers, let supplication and prayer be first made to all men. First. If you're a Christian and you're a soldier of the cross, you need to be praying. Stop trying to twist and force. Pray. Stop trying to kick and bang in the door. Pray. God will make a way. You stop trying to make it a way for yourself. God will do the work. You put your confidence in God. Let Him do the work. Trust in Him. Depend upon Him. Put your confidence in Him. Let Him do it. Trust Him. I want to close. I got to close. When I was living in Montreal, I became a Christian. I went back to Montreal, and I had a lot of high school friends. I was very well known in high school, and I just had a lot of connections. And I had a good friend of mine named Sylvie Petta, good girl, nice person. And she found out I became a Christian, and she was kind of making fun of me a little bit. So I wanted to talk to her about God, and so I didn't have much wisdom back then, but she invited me over for coffee to talk. I said, fine. And I wanted to talk to her about the Lord. All I had in my mind was to talk to her about the Lord. And the minute I walked into her house, I can sense that it was just really a bad idea. She wasn't, very nice to me, to say the least. And if I didn't have my armor on, I would have fallen for sure, if you know what I mean. But I had my armor on. The devil tried to get me. I got my armor on, see? I got my shield of faith. You can throw any arrows you want. I got my faith. And so, but the dust started to settle. And I felt an evil presence in the room. I didn't know why. I was trying to talk to her about God. I'm usually pretty well versed as far as just speaking. I have my other weaknesses, but I can speak okay, I guess. And I couldn't speak. I was stumbling and stuttering. I couldn't even express my words. What is going on here? And I felt a terrible presence, just like I did in California in my room. I felt a similar presence. I said, Sylvie, excuse me, can I just go, to the bathroom? I said to her, excuse me. So, but I went and I decided to pray because I so I started praying. And so I went into a bedroom of sorts, some place, some den where it was, and I lifted up my hands and I began to pray. And I said, God, something is weird here. I sense something really bad. I can't even speak. It's like a cloud is in this place. She's full of sexualities and innuendos. And I just felt terrible. I said, God, you got to help me, please. And as I'm praying, I felt something push me to the floor. I said, this is crazy. She has cats. She had five cats. So I figured it was her cat. So I looked, I'm not kidding you. So I looked under the bed. Maybe there's a cat. No cat. I'm praying again. Father, just give me your wisdom. Give me your discernment. Lord, help me to talk to this woman. But this time the push literally, I almost tripped. I literally almost fell down to the floor. It was so aggressive. I said, and the lights came on. Dino, it's not a cat. You don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And I realized it was a demonic spirit. Let me show you how incredible God is. And I began to pray and ask God to give me wisdom and to break this demonic realm. I went back into the room. There she was, looking at me. I go, Sylvie, let me ask you a question. What have you been doing the last several months? And she began to talk normal all of a sudden. She told me that she was involved in the occult. That explains the demonic realm. That there were evil spirits in her room. When you listen, folks, this is for free. If there's anybody here involved in any kind of seances, psychics, occults, you need to come and speak to me because you are treading on very thin ice spiritually. I don't know everybody in this room. And she was involved in the occult and the demonic realm. And that's what was causing her mind to be all crazy. That's why I felt this evil presence. But the minute I took authority and I began to bind it in Jesus' name, and take authority because I'm a Christian soldier. I got my armor on. I'm praying in the spirit. I'm not dealing with flesh and blood. She opened her eyes like the lights came on, and I prayed with her, and she gave her life to Jesus Christ that day. Can we all stand together, please? Don't forget tonight, please. We want you back for our meeting. We won't spend too much time in the altar this morning because, for obvious reasons, but I want every head bowed just for a moment. I'm just going to pray this morning. I just want your head bowed. I'm not going to invite you forward today. That's okay. But I do want to pray with you. How many would say, Pastor Dino, wow, he's touched. I never realized this before. I need this equipment, Pastor. I'm not so sure I've got the helmet of salvation on properly. I'm not so sure I've got the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. I'm not so sure I've got my belt on, my boots. I'm not so sure I have this banner over my head. But I want this armor. I need it. I need it. You're trying to go into battle with no armor on. That's very sad. But today, it's going to change for some of you. Now, I can take this and bring it somewhere, but I won't. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand, and by raising your hand, you're saying, Pastor, I need this armor. I need this armor in my life, and I want it. But before you raise your hand, you have to understand what it means. It means commitment. It means you are going to be determined. You're not going to entangle yourselves in the affairs of this world, as we just read. You're going to be determined to follow the Lord completely, because I've decided to follow Jesus. And when you decide to follow Jesus with all your heart, this armor comes onto you, if you will, one piece at a time. You'll be more of a word based, more faith will rise, more assurance, strength, and power, because you've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. You're going forward. You want to make a difference in this world. You don't just want to exist anymore. You want to be a true soldier. But you need it, because there's going to be a battle. The enemy won't be happy. He's going to try to dissuade you. But you stand firm. Stand firm. Because if God is with you, who or what can be against you? I'm going to say, Pastor, I need this armor, and I need it now in my life. If that's you, put up your hand real high. I'm not inviting you forward this morning. I don't have time today. But just keep your hand up real high. Real high. Say, Pastor, I want this armor. I want it in my life. I need it. I've been trying to fight the devil in my own strength, and I'm losing. I need God's grace in my life. I need your grace, Lord Jesus. I need your power in my life.